The topic I have before me this evening is entitled Success Through Apprenticeship. Success Through Apprenticeship. Who is an apprentice? I'm sure we all know, but I will also define it like this. An apprentice is a learner who has agreed to work for or with a highly skilled and reputable figure in a profession. In order to acquire skills and eventually become a professional after a set period of field, in a particular field, is going to work for a set period of time. It may be paid a stipend. It might not even be paid, but it will learn on the job for a set period of time in order to also emerge as a professional. Then synonyms for apprentice include beginner, learner, novice, freshman, or even a blind man. So he knows next to nothing on the job and he wants to learn. Now, apprenticeship is a system for training a new generation of practitioners or leaders of a specialized sector. An apprentice will eventually run or take over the sector in the future. So, that is what apprenticeship is. So, there are some key points we Christians need to know on this topic, because the topic is entitled Success Through Apprenticeship. And since we are all Christians and children of God, what are the key points we need to know? Number one, Christianity can be seen as an apprenticeship program. Christianity can be seen as an apprenticeship program. And Christ is the master, we are the apprentice. And the Bible says we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. And Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:18 also says something like that, that we are beholding Jesus. I will read. He said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord teaches us, and it's almost like a lifelong apprenticeship program with Christ. There is no day you will arrive and you say, I've known all I need to know. What is next to know about you, Lord? God is really vast. So in Christianity, it will be a lifelong apprenticeship program. And we have some examples of apprenticeship program in the Bible. We have God and Enoch. That's in the book of Genesis 5, 19 to 24. Enoch and God. They say Enoch walked with God. That means he moved with God. He was trained by God. And very soon, they said, Enoch was no longer, people no longer see Enoch again. That, I think we should read it. Genesis 5, 19 to 24. That was 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And people no longer see Enoch again. And it was as if he walked with God, and everything people could see was God. Enoch was no longer found. So I think if we bring it to modern day Christianity, our work with God should actually make us make our personality, ourselves, to diminish, and we have all of God and less of us every day, more of God and less of us every day. So our personality, our temperament, our weaknesses, the flesh itself will disappear, and it will all be all of God, more of God every day, and less of we, less of our person, less of our selfish being, less of our personality, of our weaknesses, of our temperament. And that is what God wants. As we walk with him, people see us and they see Jesus. They see God through us. They see Christ through us. And that is what this passage implies. Another apprenticeship program was God and Adam. God always come around to teach Adam everything, tell him to do this, to do this. But we know that one ended in a sad story. Then God and Abraham. It was also a nice one, and it was successful. God and Moses. I will not be the one to judge that, but I know it was God trained him, and he was regarded as one of the meekest person on earth, if not the meekest. And I think that was huge success with Moses, although he didn't enter the promised land. God and David. God trained David even in the wilderness. And it was David that said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He lead me." So leading means mentoring, and that's a form of apprenticeship. So, and David, God made huge success with David. Then Elijah and Elisha. Yes, that was a huge success. Then Elijah and Gehazi. I think he tended on a bad note. Then Jesus and that was the one. And that's why we are here. That apprenticeship program was a successful one. And we are here today because Peter learned well from Christ. Then Paul and Timothy, that was a huge success. That was a huge success. And now we have Jesus and us, the Christians. That's the what we have now on board. So I don't know how well you are receiving the training from Christ and how well this apprenticeship program is going on. Maybe it's going on smoothly, or it's the one you argue with the masters. Sometimes you have some student arguing with you, and nothing gets a teacher angry when a student begins to argue with you and argue, and you wonder what's wrong with this apprentice or with this student, you know. So I think it's high time we learned to work with Christ and see it as an apprenticeship program that will change us gradually into the image of Christ. And we will always reflect Christ. People will see us just like Enoch no longer existed, and everything that people saw was God. We will no longer exist as well. And everything that the world, people around us see is Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus said in Luke 9:62, that no man, having put his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. That means we are undergoing the apprenticeship program and we cannot afford to look back. It's something to walk with Christ, and definitely walking with Christ brings a lot of benefit. And so the question is, why are we undergoing this lifelong apprenticeship program with Christ? Or why are we undergoing a lifelong apprenticeship program as Christians? Of course, the major reason is for us to conform to the image of Christ, possessing the following attributes. Number one, for us to conform to the image of Christ, then we will possess the following attributes in the process. Number one is perfection. God wants us to be perfect. Perfection / holiness. When we walk with him, reading his word, meditating on it, the Bible says in Matthew 5:48 that be ye holy, for the Lord God is holy. Be ye perfect, for the Lord God is perfect. Some translation says it like that. And I remember when we were in the children department one time, and there was a question, that is God not giving us too much assignment by telling us to be perfect? That is he not overburdening us? That was the question that was we answered then in children department. And the answer, I mean, at least I was able to answer to an extent, and the answer we gave then was he made us perfect. And in the book of Genesis, God said, when he looked at us, behold, it was good and perfect. So our default mode was to be perfect. He made us perfect. But of course, the Adamic nature and every other thing brought in the impurities. So when God said we should become perfect, we should look at Christ, looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We should walk with him so in order to attain that perfection again. It's not overburdening us, because that is what we were. It was only because of the environment we find ourselves that the impurity has gotten into us, the Adamic inheritance. So it's not overburdening us. Rather, I will say God is only telling us to return to our normal mode, which will be a mode of perfection. So one of the things we possess at the end of our apprenticeship program or during our apprenticeship program is that holiness and perfection. And number two, complete dominion. Of course, we tend to know our promises in God and we stamp our authority over the devil. So complete dominion. Then number three is exhibition of the fruit of the Spirit. Exhibition of the fruit of the Spirit, which we have in Galatians 5:22. Most this fruit of the Spirit, one cannot say, okay, I will just begin to act them out by my own strength. There will be environmental situations that will provoke you, get you angry, and you'll be tempted to say, you don't know me, I will deal with you, you know. All those kind of things. And we want to be selfish. An average man is selfish by nature. But when we walk with Christ, we exhibit this fruit of the Spirit. We will learn of him. And this fruit of the Spirit, of course, by their fruit we know them. It is this fruit that really make people to know that this one is truly a Christian. Praise the Lord. Then number four will be complete relegation of the flesh and self. Yes, that's Galatians 5:19. Complete relegation of the flesh and self. Most times, or let me say it this way. After Adam ate the fruit in the garden, it's a fruit of knowledge. So in his own eyes, he became wise. So he doesn't have to depend on God again. He will just say, okay, this seems good for me, and I take it. This seems wrong for me, I will not do it. Meanwhile, that was not what God wanted. He wanted this Holy Spirit to guide us in choosing the right from wrong. There are some things that are good, but are not the perfect will of God. And there are some things that we think they are wrong, but could be the perfect will of God, you know. So that's why when Adam acted the way he acted, God came to him and said, who said you should do this? God wanted to know who instructed him to do it. Because when we do things, what God wants to know is, what is leading you to do it? Is it my spirit? Is it my word that is leading you? Or your intuition? Just say, okay, I think this is right, this is wrong. This business is best, let me just do it. This business it's wrong, let me not do it. Ah, this business is making more money, let me rush into it. And at the end of the day, it's filled with regrets. Then one, the God will come and tell you, who told you to do it? So, it's not, I think the question now is, in Christianity, or in our relationship with Christ, it's not a function of you saying, this is what I think is right, or what I think is wrong. It's a function of who told you to do it. Is it the self in you that is leading you, or some other forces that is motivating you, or it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Word of God, is God Himself guiding you with His right hand of righteousness to do it. So, the distinction between what will be right to us as Christians and what will be wrong will be, if it's Spirit-led, if it's God's directive, and if it is backed up with the Word of God. And that is what we should look more into, even when we want to take major decisions of in our lives. Praise the Lord. So, complete relegation of the flesh and self. Oftentimes, we know it is self that motivates us into actions. But as children of God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to keep helping us, we will make the right decisions, and our relationship with Christ will be deeper each day. Then another one of the things we will achieve through this apprenticeship program as Christians is we will be able to stand firmly in faith in the last days and in perilous times. And that is 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 7. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 7. Where we have in the perilous times, men shall be lovers of themselves. A lot of social vices was listed there. Second Timothy, then, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breaker, false accuser, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good, traitors, edgy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and such turn away. So perilous sandwiches in these last days, and we can see this, that is prevalent in the world around us. And one way to really stand firm in the last days will be through this apprenticeship program with Christ. Now, number six, to overcome the battles of the mind and quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Once you are a good apprentice with Christ, you will definitely attain this. And that will be what? To overcome the battles of the mind. Most of the battles are won in the mind. The devil just come and toss an idea and say, you will die, maybe telling a person you will die young, you know. And the person, die young, you know. And if one is not filled with the Spirit of God, one will ponder on that, die young. It's possible, many people are dying young now. And, you know, and that will be established. It's a fiery dart of the kingdom of darkness. But if one is filled with the Word of God, and one is a true sheep of the shepherd, which is Jesus, then this will be quenched. That fiery dart of the devil will be quenched. We can see this in Ephesians 6, 12 to 17, where God is saying we should put on the whole armor of God so that we let's talk about the shield of faith to ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. And for we rescue not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and all these powers of darkness. So, a good apprentice with Christ need not worry on this. And he will be able to have the capacity to quench the fiery darts of the wicked ones. Now, what are the, as Christians, this is the foundation of the whole thing. Because even if one will succeed as Christian, financially and in every area of life, it starts with the spiritual mindset. It starts with the spiritual foundation. And once this is well laid, every other thing can fall in place. Now, other forms of apprenticeship, of course, that concerns and now a common Christian is career apprenticeship, which could be vocational apprenticeship and business apprenticeship as well. I think they are synonyms, because if career, depending on which field you find yourself, it could be an academic career, it could be vocation, like all these artisanal work and the likes. Yes, one must excel in business. One cannot just claim to be successful in the spiritual realm. But everything we see is physical, or most of the things we see. So if you say you are successful spiritually and there's nothing physical or tangible, as we have it this year, it's a year of tangible results. The tangible means something that can be seen and felt. So vocational or career and business apprenticeship is important. Then ministerial apprenticeship, that's in ministry, kingdom ministry. Maybe you are whatever area of ministration you are involved in the Christendom. It's important one undergo a thorough apprenticeship program, maybe through an elderly person in the field or someone that has been tested and trusted for a long period of time. So vocational and career and business apprenticeship, ministerial apprenticeship, then family management apprenticeship, how to manage a family. It's becoming a big business nowadays. So, I mean, as a man, I can say something on that too. Managing the family. I used to think my father did not do a good job. But now, I see. I always ask for everything. I say, Daddy, you are supposed to have done this. You are supposed to have done this. Now I know better. So then, time management apprenticeship, which can also be called life management apprenticeship. So one needs someone to also help in training one on how to manage one's life. So that, because there's time for everything, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's time for everything. So there are some people that can guide you well and say, this is what you should do at age 40. This is what you should have done. And when you know you are late or you are behind schedule, at least you'll be able to gather momentum and push further. So one can identify a mentor in every area. And out of multitude of counsel, a city is established. He who follows the wise will be wise. So, and Ecclesiastes 12 also said we should remember God in the days of our youth. There are some things that should be done at the youthful age. If one tries it at the age of 70, one's back will break. So, that is that. Then, lastly, capacity development apprenticeship. So, all this is necessary to be a complete Christian. Now, finally, what are the qualities of a good apprentice? Qualities of a good apprentice. Number one, I will talk about the apprentice as well as the quality of a good master. But I'll just read it now. Number one, a good apprentice must be passionate about that field. That field of choice must be passionate. It's something you like to do, even if you will not be paid. Because sometimes you may be discouraged. But if it's something you love to do, even when you are not paid, you will keep doing it. The passion will drive you. A good apprentice must be humble. Must be humble. Must be obedient. Ephesians 6, chapter 5. Must be curious. must be curious, must eager to know more, must work more and speak less, must work more and speak less, must be loyal to the master, must move out of the comfort zone, then must possess momentum. Momentum in physics, they will say, is the change of velocity, mass times velocity. So the change of velocity, sure. So by momentum, I mean, if maybe he's working to earn 50 naira, he must aspire to move higher. So 50 naira per day, it could be 100, or it can become 150. So he must think in that line. So he must possess momentum. Once there is no momentum, or there is no acceleration again, that means you are one spot. Uniform, that means one is on a uniform velocity, or one is as eventually stopped. Then every other person will overtake, and the person will become a person of the past. So even as an apprentice, one must possess momentum. Then another one is, one must develop a strong reputation as an apprentice and guide it with all diligence, even with one's life. Then an apprentice must learn to make the master and people depend on him. So once they depend on you and they cannot do without you, that means the sky is the starting point. So an apprentice must make the master and people depend on him. An apprentice must try never to offend the master. An apprentice must win through his action and never with an argument. You don't argue with your master. Win with your actions and never through argument. An apprentice must be teachable. An apprentice must master the art of timing. There's time for everything, and he must master the art of timing. And lastly, an apprentice, while he's still under the master, must never try to outshine the master. You don't try to outshine your master. I think David and Saul had the use with that. Once your master sees that, it's natural somehow. While you are under him, even if you think you know more than him, never try to outshine your master. Never. But when you leave him, let him hear your story. And I think that will be better. So what about the qualities of the master? He must also be passionate. Otherwise, very soon he too will be fed up of the job. He must be humble. Even God was humble. God was humble. As you can see, God will visit Adam. You know, sometimes I wonder, God will visit Adam. And God wanted to visit even Moses. He was saying, I will use my hand to cover, to block your face so that you don't see my face. It's a form of humility. The God we read, that they say is God of fire. The Bible says God that answers with fire. And this kind of God will still visit man and be negotiating. You know, he's humble. And masters should also learn from God, learn from Jesus. They are both humble. So, a master must be caring. A master must be vast and versatile in that field. A master must be available. A master must also possess momentum. Otherwise, we will be out of market very soon. A master must be up to date. A master must forgive easily. A master must be patient. Because sometimes you teach somebody, oh, yeah, go to man now. Me, very, I'm not going away. You know, there are some people like that. Just by 1 year, 3 months, I can't go away. And they should be patient. Then a master must also guard his reputation. He must guide his reputation. Once the followers cannot longer trust him, he will lose all the followership as well. So, a master must be a man of honor. A master must be firm. A master must recreate himself from time to time. Like he should bring new things on board. If he's doing something this way, he should bring something new. When the follower sees that there's nothing more to gain from him, you know, I mean, his time is up anyway. So he must recreate himself from time to time because they say changes is the only constant thing. So that is that. Then a master must work on the heart and mind of others. A master must work on the heart and mind of others. So that is that. May the Lord bless his word in our hearts.